So if you're interested in any of those are all available as well. There are also shirts for little ones, for toddlers. There are onesies for children, adults. There is not a onesie for you. We particularly chose against that, much to Al's chagrin and to my joy. So, I got a text message the other night. I'm getting together with a couple of my friends from Nebraska. And one of them took a picture of the snacks that he was bringing. And he said, check out part of the stash that I'm bringing with me. It was mostly peanut butter M&Ms, which are fantastic. To which immediately the other friend responded with his text message that said, and here's a picture of part of the stash that I'm bringing. And it was this half of his mustache. It was awful. It was fantastic. I couldn't believe how much I laughed over such a ridiculous, ridiculous text message. But I appreciated it. And I was thankful for it. Last week we talked about trusting God in the midst of disappointment. In a year that has just been fraught with disappointment, trusting God and His direction of a path, even though it may not be the path that we would choose, right? Things aren't happening the way we had expected. Plans have been altered. We thought we were going here, and all of a sudden it shifted, and things didn't play out the way we would have liked them to. And so last week we looked at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 particularly, and it talks about not leaning on our own understanding, but acknowledging Him and He then directing our path. And us then not really having a reason to be disappointed with that path if He's directing it as the one who is good and all-knowing, as the one who is in control and as the sovereign God. There's not a reason to be disappointed, confused, perhaps. We're not told we will know everything, but we don't have to be disappointed because we can trust the one who's guiding us. Well, then what do we do? If we're trusting Him, what does that look like in our life as we move forward? So today, we're talking about being thankful. And that's a principle that can be set incredibly broadly in terms of our culture, incredibly broadly in terms of not just believers, though we're going to particularly talk about believers in Jesus, followers of Jesus Christ, but even beyond that. When you're thankful for things, even in the midst of things that aren't your ideal, you find that there's a shift in your mentality and your emotional state or your mental state to seeing things in a much more positive, helpful way, simply by being thankful. For instance, this year is a presidential election year, and I'm thankful that we're down to just 3 more months of ads. I am thankful for that. I'm thankful that I had a summer where maybe things didn't all go the way that I had wanted, but I was able to spend a lot of time outside doing a lot of different things. I'm thankful that I got some stuff done around my house that I otherwise wouldn't have done. I'm thankful for a church body, right, who has continued to grow together, for elders who have continued to lead me while we've gone through this time. I'm thankful for those things. And if my mentality and focus stays there and the things that I'm thankful for, then the things that are going wrong really tend to dissipate. They tend to not hold as much weight in my mind because my focus is on something different. We're going to look at 1 Thessalonians today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 15. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. That's Paul parroting himself, actually, out of Romans chapter 12, the end of Romans chapter 12, which is him parroting Jesus, which is Jesus parroting the Old Testament. This is all through the Bible. That's the message. Do not repay your enemy. Leave it for God to deal with them. Now, at times, God called the kingdom of Israel to deal with their enemies. But it was God calling them to do that, not just them taking vengeance for themselves,
we move on then. Once you've got that mentality of not repaying anybody evil for evil, not trying to avenge yourself, not trying to take revenge, but now rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. He culminates that with being thankful in all circumstances. And we're not going to try to break down whether you're supposed to be thankful for everything that happens or just in everything that happens, conceptually, practically, or specifically. We're not going to try to determine that in this moment, because that's a conversation that's going to take a lot more time than just these few minutes of one-directional communication. So if you want to have that conversation, there are scriptures that point us toward being thankful for everything. There are scriptures here that point us toward being thankful in all circumstances or during all circumstances. We can also look at Romans 8:28 that says that through all these things that go on, God is working for our good, which is why we can be thankful for those circumstances and those things. But lest you think that this was written in a time when life was simple and easy, because way back when, and it was easier and simpler for people, this was in the midst of Paul getting ready to be martyred for Jesus. So Paul is ready to have his life taken away. He's in prison, and now he's giving the command to be thankful in all circumstances, including unjust punishment, an unjust captivity, unjust death, but be thankful in those circumstances. Why? Because when we go back to the Proverbs passage, this is God directing Paul's life down a path that maybe isn't the path Paul would have chosen, but it's the path that God directed him toward. For what? For God's glory and Paul's benefit. So when you and I walk down different paths in life, things that go on in a coronavirus year or things that go on otherwise, huge disappointments or small disappointments, when we deal with those, when we have those around us, we too could say, okay, God has me in this circumstance, in this time, for his glory and for my benefit. And then we can be thankful. Now, if you don't know what to be thankful for, it really is pretty simple. At least the starting point is. And this is going to sound trite. It's going to sound almost tired and overused, almost simplistic. And maybe it is used often. Maybe it is simple. Maybe it has been repeated and repeated and repeated, but friends, for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus, then all of the problems of this temporary world go away when we leave it and we join Jesus in eternity. And that is the foremost thing for which we must be thankful. And we should always, every day, step back and remind ourselves or be reminded by Scripture that our lot in life, our ultimate position, is that Jesus saved us from death, and he gave us life. And in giving us life and forgiveness, in giving us a chance to be an heir along with him of God's riches, then all of the problems of this world are nothing that can't be outmatched by that. And we can be thankful for that eternal reality. We can be thankful for that eternal position that we have. I was doing a Sunday school class on this sort of topic, and one of the gentlemen in our church said, you know what, maybe we should just remind ourselves on a weekly basis to be thankful for salvation. And so I made a decision. My phone, as many of yours, right, smartphones, which are annoying as all get out, they give you way too much information. They keep you way too tethered to many different things, but they can be useful. Every Wednesday at 8 o'clock in the morning, I get a reminder. It's just about the time that our elder meeting ends on Wednesday. I get a reminder that says, be thankful for salvation. Every Wednesday, I'm reminded of that particular reality in my life. Now, that's not something that everybody needs to do, but it's helpful to me to just be recentered on that Wednesday at that time to be thankful for salvation, regardless of the issues that we've had to deal with as elders, regardless of the struggles that I'm going through personally, regardless of the family things that are going on, I can be thankful for salvation. And if we start there, then we can be thankful, if nothing else, even at the most basic level, we can be thankful in all circumstances because we have salvation. And that's a thing that's easy for us to get used to. It's easy for it to become normal for us, but it should not. Because it's a salvation that was bought with Jesus' death. The only righteous human to ever live. The only good person to ever exist. And he chose to die so that my death could be taken away. He chose to die so that my sins could be removed. He chose to die so that I didn't have to take the penalty and the punishment for my brokenness, for my sin. And when that becomes common for us, when that becomes something that's simplistic almost, then we have forgotten what it really is and what it really means. We're given the opportunity to have salvation because of Christ's death. And that's something that should cause us to be thankful regardless of the extraneous things that go on. The things outside of that, anything outside of that. We can be thankful in that moment because we have salvation, even if that thing causes our death. But really, it's more than that. At least it's intended to be more than that. Because God, for some reason, chooses to work through us to accomplish something. Do you know what he's accomplishing through us? It's twofold. Well, overarchingly, you could say he's accomplishing his own glory, which is the most incredible thing that we can work toward. But practically speaking, he's working two things through us. One, he's working us to become like his son, which is amazing. It's incredible to think about the fact that he's molding me for some reason to be in the image of Jesus. He's molding you, if you're a believer in Jesus, for some reason into his image. That's amazing. It's also hard. Sometimes it's not even fun, but it's amazing to see that result of it. He's also, in all of our circumstances, whichever they are, for you particularly, he's also using you or giving you the opportunity to be used by him to build his kingdom. And that's amazing. I mean, really, he has this supreme power in the universe. He can do whatever he wants. And he chooses to work through us to share the reality of his kingdom with the people around us, both those who believe in him already and those who don't. Those who don't believe in him need the message of salvation from Jesus, the one we were just talking about a few minutes ago. The one that allows us as Christians to be thankful all the time, or should allow us. No, it does allow us. It should cause us to be thankful all the time, but in our brokenness, we sometimes forget that. That message given to those people who don't already have salvation. That's that opportunity. That's an amazing thing that he allows us to do. But beyond that, we've got a whole bunch of believers around us who are, as we already said, being molded into the image of Christ. And if you're being molded into something, what does that mean? It means that you're not done. And so God gives us the opportunity to work alongside each other for mutual benefit so that we can both become more like him. And by doing so, build deeper into his kingdom. Not more people, but more depth from us before we get there. Now, when we get to heaven, there's going to be a whole lot of stuff that goes on. One will be that our brokenness, our sinful nature is stripped from us, just like that. And we will no longer have the brokenness that we walk around every day with, whether that's physical, emotional, mental, or just sin nature in general. That will all be stripped away. And we'll have the chance to be with him forever, but we also have the chance to become like him now. And we can be thankful for that. Friends, we can be thankful that God has given each one of us the opportunity to build into the growing of his kingdom in number. That means the sharing of the gospel of Jesus. And we're going to spend a moment talking about what that's like, but we're going to come back to that. We also get a chance to be thankful that not only can we build into the number of people in the kingdom of God, we can build into the depth of those people. That's a thing to be thankful for. Eternal realities that God allows us to take part in. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are as far as that goes. You get the opportunity to do that. Now, some of us, maybe all of us, we've been in circumstances where we have the opportunity to share the gospel. Last week, we did a golf tournament. If you got to see it, you saw some fun dress. One of our teams wore banana outfits, okay? It was slow golf, I get that. It was hot out, I get that, but it was fun. They wore banana outfits. The best part about the banana outfit crew is they went to the wrong golf course first. So they walked into the clubhouse at the wrong course dressed like bananas. I couldn't have scripted it better myself. We also had one of our people show up in he wore blue knickerbockers. It was wonderful. Made me smile. We had 46 people play and 12 of them were from our church. So the other 34 people were people who maybe somebody there was loosely connected to. And so we started out and we just told them why we were doing this. And at the end of the tournament, we got a chance to share that again. We didn't explicitly share the gospel with them. We could have, but we didn't. We chose to do it a different way. And that different way was to say, hey, we know that this has been a tough year for people. And maybe every year is in some way a tough year for people. And we gave them the opportunity to be able to talk with us if they wanted that. So that in building that relationship, we could share the gospel. Eventually. Through building that relationship and then sharing the truth of Jesus with them. At different times, we'll say, you know what? This might be our only chance to share the gospel with you. So we're going to share the gospel with everybody who's there. When we talk about building God's kingdom, we can look at sharing the gospel in both of those ways, but one of them gives you an out or gives me an out that we are not allowed to have. The out that it gives us is to say, oh, I'm going to build a relationship with you and eventually I'll share the gospel with you, or hope that you notice it in my life and then maybe I don't have to say anything. But that's not what it's intended to be. What it's intended to be is to build a relationship for the intentional purpose of sharing the gospel with a person. You can, or I can, build a relationship with somebody we don't already know, and we can get to know them, and then we can intentionally look for opportunities to talk about Jesus with them when they bring up topics that would lead us directly into that. And the easy thing to do is to say we're going to do that, but not actually do it. It's really easy to say, oh, we're going to do this when the opportunity comes, but then when the opportunity comes, sort of get scared and say, I don't know if now is the right time. We'll do it next time. And then the next time comes and we say, I don't know if this is the right time. We'll do it the next time. And that's the mistake that we can make. We're given the opportunity to share the gospel with people. And whether we do that the first time we meet them or whether we build a relationship and share Jesus with them, that's not the point. The point is that you do it. And you grow the number of people in God's kingdom. And it's a thing that we could be thankful, that we could be part of. We can help to deepen the faith of the people who are already in his kingdom, a thing for which we can be thankful. And that does not require a pastoral degree, which is a silly thing to even say. It doesn't require a pastoral position. It doesn't require an elder position to do. Some of the people who have challenged me to grow the most in my life were not seminary teachers or professors. They were not pastors. They were not elders. They were simply people who went along life with me. We call them disciplers. They went along life with me and they challenged how I lived. Not challenged me, Brock, you're stupid, sort of challenged me. They challenged me to be better. They challenged me to trust more. They challenged me to love deeper. They challenged me to be a nice person, because that's not normal for me. But they challenged me to be more than what's normal for me. You and I can each do that, regardless if you've ever stood on stage and given a message, regardless of whether you've ever held a role or a leadership role in church. Those are not prerequisites to helping people grow. They may give you more opportunities for it, but that's all they do. We can be thankful in every circumstance because at least those two things are true. We, as followers of Jesus, as believers in Jesus Christ, as our only means of salvation, we have eternity ahead of us with him. We have, as followers of Jesus, the opportunity to build into his kingdom. And if we were to just take every day, get out of bed, step back from the world and say, those are two realities that cannot be stripped from me regardless of the presidency, irrespective of the Congress, not connected to the state of our country, not connected to all the gibberish that I read on Facebook. I have those realities for which I can go through my day and be thankful. And then I have the opportunity, as many of you do as well, to say, not only do I know I have that, I can look at my spouse and I can say, Allison has that. And I can look at our children, and when they've decided to trust Jesus, I can say, they have that reality as well. And it just compounds and multiplies the number of things for which I can be thankful. And that's what we should do. An interesting exercise, perhaps it's you could call it, is to pray. And when you pray, only thank God for things. Not that you have to pray like that every time you pray, but it's really interesting to start your prayer and say, God, thank you for my wife. Thank you for our kids. Thank you for this house that you've given us. Thank you for the vehicles you've given us. Thank you for the friends that we have. Thank you for your son. Thank you for the food that we ate. Thank you for the animals that we have. Thank you for this and thank you for that. And thank you for all of the things that I could say thank you for. And do nothing else. Your heart will feel that as you reorient yourself in a thankful posture before Jesus, thanking him for what he's given you and for who he is. You know what? You don't have to tell him what you need. You know why? He already knows. We were talking about prayer just about a month ago. And sometimes we do what Jesus said the Gentiles do, which is we throw out all sorts of words and we make sure that we tell God everything because maybe he's unaware. But he already knows. You don't have to tell him that you need this thing to happen the next day. He's aware. I'm not saying that you can't go to him with those supplications and requests. Just that that's not all you can do. Spend one day in every prayer, just thank God for everything you can be thankful for. And you'll find that as you're thankful, the cares of this world, the troubles, they don't go away, but they get put in perspective. They're not going to just disappear because you're thankful, but you'll feel them less. They'll have less weight on you So be thankful. Be thankful in all circumstances. And when you're thankful in all circumstances, you'll find it's easier to pray without ceasing, because praying is this communication with God. And when you're praying in all circumstances, you'll find it easier to rejoice. And if you rejoice, you'll find it easier to pray. And if you pray, you'll find it easier to give thanks. It's a circle, regardless of which way you go around it. Because all of those things reorient us unto Christ, not unto us. And when we reorient ourselves to Christ, focus changes. I'm sure this year has been a disappointment to you. I hope that in the last week or in the last months, you've tried to trust God's path forward, not the path you had chosen. And our prayer for you as elders, as a body for each other, our prayer is that you will be thankful in all circumstances as you go through life. Because you've been given, if you're a follower of Jesus, the opportunity to have eternity with him. You're given, if you're a follower of Jesus, the opportunity to build into his kingdom. And those things are things for which we should be eternally grateful. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for your Son. God, we thank you for technology, whether or not it always works, technology that gives us the opportunity to be connected with the people who can't be here with us in person. We thank you for a building to meet in. We thank you for beautiful weather. Lord, we thank you for the rain that we got the other night. We thank you for your Son and your salvation. We thank you for your grace and your love. We thank you for caring for us when we're hurting. We thank you for encouraging us. God, we thank you for your Son mostly, and the salvation that we can have through him and the glory that he receives because of it. We love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.